Man, I hate to say this, but I used to take the bottles of wine myself after a while.
Yeah.
And at 11 years old, I used to go and get drunk on the rooftop of my building with some of my other friends growing up. And I became an alcoholic right then, you know?
Welcome to Harrison Family Values, the podcast, where we explore faith, family, fatherhood, manhood, and marriage with today's guest, Pastor Jorge Santamaria, a devoted husband, father, and spiritual leader. Join us as Pastor Jorge shares his incredible journey of redemption through the transformative power of faith in Christ. From his role as a pastor to hosting a podcast with his wife, Pastor Jorge's story is a testament to the enduring strength of family values and the unwavering grace of God. Stay tuned for an inspiring conversation filled with hope, love, and the pursuit of a meaningful life in Christ. Pastor Jorge, thank you so much for joining me, man. I appreciate you being here.
No doubt. And joining I'm happy to be here, man.
For this conversation, man. So thank you. I know you had a recent bout to get here, but I appreciate you coming and you being here on the Harrison Family Values, the podcast.
Definitely, man. I'm really excited to be here. And, you know, as it happens many times, you know, when you're doing God's work or when you're definitely like moving in the will of God, things try to jump in.
Yeah, yeah.
The enemy tries to come.
Yeah, yeah.
But God is greater.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you're here, man. So I really appreciate it.
Definitely.
Really appreciate it. We had a chance to meet at the current church we're attending.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're over there like bringing a lot of people to church.
Yeah,
half the congregation now is there because they met you out at Walmart or some store or restaurant or
at the pet shop at the fish shop at the fish store.
Yeah, man. Yes. Yeah, you're about your as they say, you're on your business when it comes to Jesus.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like I feel like God's called me into this specific ministry to go out there and evangelize the people and to bring people into His kingdom. But it ain't me. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's just using my hands because I just give my hands up to him and he's the one who moves me.
Yeah.
You know, so I move according to what he tells me.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Amen. And that's, I think, a thing. Like, so this channel, my podcast is about promoting faith, family, fatherhood, manhood, and marriage. And when it comes to faith in Christ, you don't see a lot of men taking their faith to the level where they are excited about telling others about Jesus, you know. And in fact, like if I can be frank, some of the men that I've spoken to, they don't necessarily see the Christian faith as one that exudes masculinity. They don't see it as something that they can vibe with. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't grow up in church per se, right? But when I would go visit my godmother, we would go to church every Sunday when I was there.
Yeah.
My godfather wouldn't come though, unless it was like a special occasion. But my godfather wouldn't come, and to be honest with you, as I look back, I didn't see a lot of men in the church, but like men like yourself out there, what makes your perspective different than a lot of the other men out there when it comes to your faith in Christ?
Well, I really believe that it all came full circle, right? Mm. I grew up in a Catholic faith, and what ended up happening was that I was an altar boy, and I did it all in that way, in that fashion, and I was like, "In nomine Patri e Spiritus Sancti." I was doing the whole Roman Catholic thing. And then, and I say it's a thing because you know, as I got older, I learned a lot of difference between what's really in the Word of God, and all the additional things that get added. You know, so no disrespect to any of the people who are Catholic, but if we look into it, God made that one word of God, the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, and it says in 1:1, that was the Word, it was with him, and he was the Word, right? Yeah. So all these additional books, you know, they may be inspired, but we don't know for certain by who.
Yeah.
So going back to that initial stage, I had a fight with God, you know. I had a wrestle and I struggled. And I realized that being in the world was not the way to go.
Yeah.
But as a young man, I became resentful about God because being in the Catholic faith, and as an altar boy, I would see the priest at the end. Back then, they used to actually drink wine out of a chalice.
Yeah.
And at the end of the mass, right, he would be like, he would look around, and they would pour all the wine that was left, and they would just drink it. I said, this ain't the blood of Christ. This ain't the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, I think it's because, if I remember correctly, I think it's that's the ritual. Like, they can't leave anything left.
That's the whole thing. So I have to drink it. But in my, you know, I'm 11 years old.
Yeah.
Watching like, I haven't been in the word.
Father back there getting lit right now.
Yeah. And then whatever's left in the bottle, I would see them take it. And sometimes I would see them take it like past the rectory, past the rectory, and like kind of like towards where their dormitories were. And I was like, that other bottle ain't blessed.
he's about to get lit.
So, man, I hate to say this, but I used to take the bottles of wine myself after a while.
Yeah.
And at 11 years old, I used to go and get drunk on the rooftop of my building with some of my other friends growing up. And I became an alcoholic right then. Cool. You know, so it's almost like
the very welcome, thing that, you know? That, well, you know, and that's the thing, like when you go into something as sacred as a communion and you're not doing it correctly or right, or not taught how to do it right.
Yeah.
It could, the Bible says if you don't do it correctly, it could lead to damnation. Like that's a serious thing.
I mean, they call them spirits, right?
Yeah.
And it's a reason why.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, and so I started, you know, I still always had belief. I believe there's a higher power. I believe there's God. Mm-hmm. But I would see all these different paintings, right? And this goes to speak. Now I'm speaking towards like what you said, that there's a masculinity that's not there. Yeah. Like it's that there's more that it's. And I would see these paintings of a Jesus who was like, you know, and he's like, and he would be like, very soft.
Yeah.
And he was very skinny and puny.
Yeah.
But then, you know, as I got older, right, I started to question my faith. And I started going into Islam. I started going to all these different religions, right? And when I turned 30, I had this real serious bout with God. Mm-hmm. And I was going through an emergency, like a small crisis at home.
Yeah.
And I was, became homeless, and I lived in my car. And out of being proud, like guys are, like how we're men and we get like proud, I didn't want anybody to know that I was living this life. Yeah. And so what ended up happening was that I then would like take the opportunity when my brother wasn't around, be like, hey, I'm gonna stop by your house. I'll go and take a shower, change my clothes, wash, do a quick wash, put it all back in my car. So I was living out of my car. You know, and then I would do the same at my mom's. And then I had a dog that I had from when I was living, you know, I was married, then I became divorced. Yeah. Right? But this is during that period of time where I was separated now and I didn't have a place to live. And I started like one day, a friend, a very good friend of mine, Matt, he gave me a book and he told me, hey, write all your resentments in this book and give them to God, lay them at his feet. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that book for 3 months. I carried it around with me from house to house, from, you know, in my car. And I was seeing this orange book, right, marbleized book. And then one day something happened with this dog that I had, and it got sick. And I had to make a choice, right, either to go to work and make money, right, because I was working as a freelance videographer, photographer at the time. And I had to make a choice, and my daughter had, I had promised my daughter, the dog's going to be okay, you know, because at the time I had one daughter, and she's like, Daddy, is the dog going to die? And I said, no, it's not going to die. It's going to be okay. Yeah. And it goes to speak to the power of words, right, as well, as God, you know, we'd make it and made in his likeness. And somehow I knew that the dog was going to be okay, but it didn't look like he was going to be okay. Yeah. Inside, against everything I believed, I really thought he was going to die, but I spoke faith, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't even know I was doing it then, but I was already like really starting to come to understand who God was, and God had been leading me this way. Mm-hmm. That the dog actually got sick, not because it was by chance, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm there and I'm thinking, should I go to work? I want to provide for my daughter still, even though I'm separated.
Yeah.
Or should I do the next right thing, which is take care of the dog, and then find another, work on, you know, getting another freelance gig, right? So I decided to take care of the dog because I promised my daughter that the dog would be okay.
Yeah.
So I had to choose. Do I go over the money that's going to be able to provide for my daughter? Or do I have a greater impact on her, like, psychologically? This is what I was thinking at the time, right?
Yeah.
So I started saying to myself, you know, do the next right thing, do the next right thing. This is a living creature.
Mm-hmm.
And... Yeah. But while I was there taking care of the dog now, I start writing it. I see this orange book, this orange marble book, and I start writing all my resentments. I mean, from childhood.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, resentful. I started with my dad, then my mom, then a cat we had named Blackie, then Odie.
Was a black cat?
It was all a black cat,
yeah,
right?
I figured that.
And then I start writing like every single resentment. I'm emptying out the gut, right?
Yeah.
Into this book.
Yeah.
And I split it up into parts, like what part I had in it. You know, when I originally heard my friend tell me, my friend Matt tell me, you should write what part you had in the resentment, and how are you gonna go back and make an amends with this person, or are you gonna give it to God because you don't have contact with them? And I was like, ugh, I believed in God, but at this point, I didn't know what God to believe in, right? And I knew it was a higher power, right? Because I had lost faith, because I had seen these images of a weak God, and like of a God, and then, you know, it dawned on me just after this, right, that God is actually very strong. That Jesus Christ Himself was not as they depict Him.
No, He wasn't.
You know what I mean? So now I start writing this book, and before I knew it, it had 78 pages written.
Yeah.
And so I start talking to God and I start screaming at Him and I start saying to Him, if you're a real God, like people say that you're a real God, then talk to me now. Now. I need you to talk to me now. And I was coming to Him with all my gut and all my heart. I didn't know much about the Bible then. But as I read on now, right, I understand that we have to talk with God this way. He is our Father, right? And I start, like, I'm like talking to Him with all my heart, with, and I just one-to-one, and I start telling Him, and I start asking Him to show Himself, whether it's going to be by a sound or whether it's going to be a burning bush. Now I'm being sarcastic with Him, right? Yeah. Is it going to be a burning bush
that would be dope,
outside
bro.
The door? Yeah.
That would be dope. If I could walk and see a burning bush. I mean, I got to take my shoes off if I make sure my dogs are clean, but yeah.
So I was like, whether you're going to be a burning bush, whether you're going to send somebody to the door, whether you're going to do whatever it is that you're going to do.
Yeah,
I need you to talk to me now. Like now. Now. I put a demand on Him.
Yeah.
You know, and I took the book and I said, I'm laying this at your feet. I don't know where your feet are, but I know this is at your feet. And I slammed it against the table at my mom's house. I remember going, whap. And then it was 10:27 in the morning. I'd been giving this dog injections in the mouth with this stuff to get it better, right? Like a syringe.
Yeah.
And then full of like this goo that I made up because the vet was telling me that them doing this whole process would have charged me $4,700 I didn't have.
Yeah.
So I said, I could do this at home. So every hour I was giving 5 cc's of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've been up all night doing this every hour.
Yeah.
And now it's 10:27. And at 10:32 in the morning, I hear a knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
Not my home. This is my mom's place.
Yeah.
So I call my mom. I was like, you're expecting anybody? Are you expecting anybody? Because I didn't want them to hear me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because then I would have to open the door. Yeah, we hear you in there. So I was like, and my mom was like, no. I was like, oh, okay. All right, bye. And so I hang up on her. And I hear the knock again.
Yeah.
Knock, knock, knock. And I go to the door and I open up the peephole just slightly so they don't see that, you know, like, because from outside you can see
the click,
the thing move, you know what I'm saying? So I open the door like tiny. I throw down a little, like, shh. I was like, this is like a little old lady.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
She's like, hello? And I was like, oh my God, she might have heard me.
Yeah.
So then I see her start walking away, and she turns, because you could see the hallway at my mom's old apartment building in Queens, by the way, Queens, New York. And she turns, and I hear the ding from the elevator. I said, good, she left.
Yeah.
So what a coward was I.
Yeah.
So I open the door, and I go, are you still there? She goes, yeah, I'm waiting for my sister to come out of the elevator. I'm waiting for the other sister to come out of the elevator.
Oh, wow.
So she had gotten ahead. So God knew that.
Yeah.
You know, I realize now God knew that in hindsight.
Yeah.
And so this is how powerful God is. Mm-hmm. And he can be every single place that we can talk to him in our home. And there could be an entire mission out there doing something.
Yeah.
And there can be people internationally doing a conference. And there can be all these people moving for God, right? And God is right there with them. That's how great and powerful our God is.
Amen.
And so they come back around and they said, we think you need to hear this. I want to read something for you.
Yeah.
You know, and then they read to me, you know, the eyes of God are roving through the earth looking for those whose heart is real. And, you know, whose heart is real and ready for him, right?
Yeah.
Right. So he's looking for whose heart is ready for him.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, have you ever heard the saying, when the student is ready, the master will appear?
Mm.
I was like, what is making you say this, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, I don't know. I just feel like saying that to you.
Wow.
I was like, whoo. And at that very moment, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if, as guys, we all joke around, we wrestle with our brothers and sisters and with our friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get punched in the stomach.
Mm-hmm. And then it gets real.
No. And then it's like, and you get winded and you like need to jump and you're like.
Yeah, it's a gut check.
Yeah. And so that's exactly what happened to me. The lady never touched me.
Wow.
And I just like, God is real. And then she said, come to our church for our Easter celebration. Here's the flyer. This is what we're here for. Mm. And she gave me the Easter celebration flyer.
Did you go?
I went.
Yeah.
After that experience?
Yeah.
I went. You know, and at the time, I was still kind of drinking, smoking, and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And I had promised God, you know, when I was screaming at him earlier, that if he showed himself to me, I would give everything up.
Mm.
But from that day forward, I didn't feel like an urge.
Yeah.
He did it.
Amen.
Now, you can say he's a soft God. He's not real. He's like, you know, but for God to be able to do that and I can't see him physically with my eye, like as a physical person, but he can do that from wherever he's at, and he can do that for every single person out there who calls on him.
Yeah.
Truth from the heart.
Yeah.
Really talks to him.
Yeah.
That's a powerful God.
So when did you get saved?
15 years ago, actually.
Wow.
I was 30 years old, so I just gave my age up.
Oh, yeah, you did. if for those of you guys that can do your math, you know what
basic age, math.
If any of my students watching, you better get that right. You better know how old he is. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I started like now getting into the Word of God for real. Then I started reading the Bible. And as soon as I came back in the house, I gave my life to Christ. I looked and, you know, I Googled and I said, how do I give my life to Christ? And they were like Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then I went to it. And then in my home alone, I was like with God, you know what I mean? And my sick dog there, I started reading it and I gave my life to Christ right there. But it was like, I don't know if you ever seen the movies where like they're in the middle of a war. This is perfect. Like in that movie, like Saving Private Ryan, there's a scene where he gets in the middle of war and he hears like, and then he finally realizes he's at D-Day.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he goes silent.
Yeah.
So that's how I felt after coming back in from those two young ladies that were at the door, the older ladies, right? So
young in the faith, young in the Lord.
Young in the Lord. So they left and they invited me to the Easter celebration. I come back inside and I hear like everything's, the TV is on, the dog is like barking. And I'm like, and I look in the Bible, I look at the Google, I open up Romans 10, 9, 10, and I gave my life to Christ right there. Yeah. And no more urges to do anything. And everything happened.
For those of you guys who are watching, you guys are probably wondering, Romans, what is he referring to? He's referring to scripture that shares that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. So,
And let me tell you, man, for anybody going through a hard time as a father, as a man who may be homeless, as a person who may be struggling.
A lot of men watch this, and they're going through a lot.
As a person who may be struggling with addiction of any type, you know, the minute you start turning your life truly over to God from your heart, cry out to him and let him know what's happening. He will start to move. Like literally within 2 months, I had a full-time job. I had had a small little studio. It wasn't a big place. I had a small little studio. I had money that was, you know, was coming in, and within a year, I was in a two-bedroom.
Yeah.
And within 2 years, I had a small house. So it was like, I went from homeless to like having a two-bedroom house in 2 years.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoosh. And like, it changed my life. And it's not just he changed my life.
There's a, you know, God has a blueprint for each of us. You know, he knows the plans he has for us, plans to prosper us and give us a, you know, a future. And I think we don't look to that. Like, we want what we want, thinking that it's the best for us. And a lot of us men, we go through life thinking, you know what, I'm the man, I'm gonna do whatever I want. Okay, I'm gonna go get mine. And thinking that you're on your purpose, but you're not really on your purpose, at least not the purpose that God established you on this planet for. And a lot of men are walking around miserable, just chasing the next best thrill because they think that's going to fulfill them. And it doesn't. You might feel temporary satisfaction at that moment, but after that feeling is gone, you're like, why am I even here? What? And I think men have to get to the place where they stop chasing the superficial and start trying to figure out, what is it that God placed me on this planet for? What's my purpose here?
Yeah.
You know, and it's very difficult to get there unless they go through the same path that you went through, acknowledging, you know, Jesus is Lord. He was raised from the dead. I make him the Lord of my life. Let me find out what my purpose is on this planet and let me fulfill that. And as they say, be on their business, you know?
Yeah. And from that day forth, man, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But it all, you know, you know, in apocalypse, I say apocalypse, but that's how I say it in Spanish, apocalipsis. Mm-hmm. But in, you know, so in apocalipsis, right?
Revelation, right?
In Revelations, right? In the book of the last book of the Bible. It says that he's there waiting at the door, waiting for you.
Yeah.
You know, so open that door up, open it up to him, and he'll change your life.
Yeah.
You know, he'll rearrange the place.
Yeah.
And he'll make it look beautiful.
Yeah.
And whatever it is that you had pictured in your mind about what this place looked like or was going to look like when it was all done, it's 10 times greater. Yeah. It's 100 times greater. It's 1,000 times greater. Because he has plans of good and not of evil for us, man.
Yeah.
And that's truth.
And we can, we live life like we have to carry the burdens of the world on our shoulders.
Yeah.
For our family, for our friends, at work. Like we, and it's difficult for us to shut that off. And which is why the self-deletion rate among men in Western civilization is extremely high. It's because they don't think that there's nothing else left to live for. That, like, they think this can't be life. My life can't just be me working and never enjoying the benefits of my labor, and everybody else keeps pulling from me. No, God has you here for way more than that.
Yeah,
and I think
he does.
And, you know, and what's amazing about men, for the most part, you give a man purpose, and he's going to run in that direction and fulfill that purpose, right? And yeah, people like, I'll give you an example. Like one of the common examples that hopefully people can get is the military. You give military men, like you give men a purpose in the military, right? And you give them an identity, they're willing to die for that purpose.
And you know what's amazing about that? You know what's amazing about that? That we do belong to an army.
Yeah.
For he is, he is, you know, a God of armies.
Yeah.
You know, and we're his army.
Yeah.
And now
and
we
our
need
identity
to,
should be in him.
It is. In Galatians 2:20, it says that, that our identity dies, right?
Yeah.
And he says that when Christ was crucified on that cross, that I was crucified with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're resurrected and new beings in Christ. Now check this out.
What's up?
In the military, it's all about discipline.
Yeah.
So we have to be disciplined and really stick to the word of God.
Yeah.
And not try to change it to be in accordance with what's happening in the world, but we need to change. You know, because the military doesn't try to be in accordance with what's going on out there.
Yeah.
They stay in here.
Yeah.
You have to do it according to these rules, yeah, according to this Bible, according to this and method.
When you give men that, they walk in it.
Yeah.
They walk in it. You know, again, like most men just need a direction and a blueprint or a map, okay?
Yeah.
This is where the treasure is. Take this map and go.
Yeah.
The map is in the Word of God.
Yeah, definitely. And listen, and it's not like there'll never be any other obstacles. There's obstacles. I had an obstacle this week, you know. I had an obstacle right before I came here. They told me, you're not going to be able to go anywhere for 5 days. And I said, no, you're wrong about that, you know. I'm going tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And my wife and I started praying, and we got into like this very like spiritual battle. And I'm here now. Yeah. It's a day. You know, your words have power. Those words, you know, they will move forward and become manifest. Mm. You know, so I mean, you can use them for evil, right? You can use them for good or evil. You can use them for anything you want. Yeah. You know, either way, they're going to come true.
True.
It says that prosperity or death is in your word.
Yeah.
You know, so
death, power of the tongue. So how do you translate that into leading as the priest of your home?
So we consistently we stay in prayer, we read the word of God, and we're consistently praising, worshiping at home, you know.
So let me as the man, how do you model that? So you want your kids and your wife to follow you? How do you model that?
Well, they have to see me doing it.
Yeah.
You know? So like, you're talking in about like in a functional way, like in an everyday.
Yeah, because here's the thing, we could talk about this, right? Like I've been saved for 25 years. 27 years. Has it been 27 years? Yo, I've been saved 2004. Yo, no, wait, seven. Yo, it's been 27 years. Wow. So I've been saved 27 years, right?
Yeah.
And it took me a while to get to the place where leading as a man of God in my home has become normal, right? But for like a man reading this, right, who has no real connection to faith but really would like to be a good leader in their home, how would they model that? Like function, like how do they function? Just,
well, I'll tell you what. I at the beginning, when I first started introducing like the word of God, even with my daughter, and I get, you know, but I wasn't initially, she wasn't, we really weren't practicing the word of God at home.
Yeah.
And so it was like, she was a young girl, and then I would literally just take her to church.
Yeah.
I would then at home, you know, go over the word of God with her, and like, you know, go over like, I would have this book of Bible stories, right?
Yeah.
And we would read it, like, instead of reading like secular books to go to sleep, I would read that to her. So that's with a young child. Excuse me. But now there's young people who are older, right? And I came into my new family, right?
Yeah.
And so what we do is we literally like, I get home. Sometimes when I get home early, music is just playing in the background. It's gospel music. It's upbeat gospel music, and it's just playing there.
Yeah.
You know, and it really, truly fills the home. Mm. You know, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about the music.
Yeah.
It matters how the impact that this music is having on my children, you know. And it's a big part, right? When we really think about even just the story of David and Saul, right?
Yeah.
Right? That string instrument that he was playing could cast away that spirit.
Yeah.
And that's one single person. Mm-hmm. Now imagine this music that our children listen to nowadays, right?
Yeah.
Um, it, they listen to it, and there's more than one person on that stage. There's more than one person behind the music there, doing all the synthesized, doing everything else. Yeah. So imagine how many different sources of power are going into that music. Yeah. Now, if I'm going to truly want my children to be a certain way, then I have to shift them from that.
Yeah.
To this upbeat frequency. Yeah. That's going to now glorify not only God, yeah, but it's going to edify them.
And how do you shift them into that?
In the car, mm-hmm, I play music. Mm. Even but we don't listen to rap, so I put Christian rap.
Yeah,
you know. Let's listen to some pop music. Okay, let's turn on the pop radio station for Christ. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're listening to King and Country. We listen to whatever, you know, modern like day music that, yeah, is Christ related. So
I had my wife sent me something earlier. I would consider him a friend on YouTube, Ruslan. He had he did an episode, and he mentioned about Christian nightclubs, right? But he does Christian rap himself.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I think I heard of Ruslan.
Yeah, yeah, and he said, you know, he's up in the air about the Christian nightclub, and the truth of the matter about that, right, is people are both drawn to music, and they're also drawn to social settings. They're drawn to music and social settings. They are more drawn to social settings, but the music sets the atmosphere for whatever social setting they're going to be in, right?
Yeah.
And they have all different, and the thing is, music is connected more to culture than it is to sin. It's the sinful music that we have started to say, hey, this is what this culture is about. A good example is hip-hop. When people think of hip-hop, they're not thinking of, like, wholesome music. They're thinking of all the debauchery and the trash,
yeah,
out there, right? And so they are connecting the music that's horrible to the culture. Now, the music that is horrible could be affecting the culture. Yes, but hip-hop itself is a reflection of the culture. The culture doesn't have to be what the music says. It's just a style of music that's connected to the culture.
Yeah.
Now, as you were saying, shifting that frequency, right? Letting the kids hear the culture that they like that is actually giving glory and honor to God.
Yeah.
If they are your kids are young, so your daughter's... Yeah, they're also still fairly young.
The 18, 15,
yeah, so,
and then 11, yeah, so even 12.
In a Christian nightclub is a social setting, but Christian music is playing, and there could be genuine fellowship happening there, and their frequency is not causing them, or your daughter who might be 18 wants to just have a nice time with some good Christian friends, not making her think bad about what she's doing. And still think, wow, I'm in this setting. Everybody's loving on each other. The music is dope. And it's talking about Jesus and glorifying God. I can rock with this. And I think that's very important.
I mean, it's a way, I really do think that it's a way that you can start to touch young people's hearts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then it leads into more.
Yeah.
You know, it leads into more. Like, yeah, like for example, like I like to listen sometimes to Bryson Gray, Brother Clement is another rapper out of Virginia that I, you know, amazing music, right? So when they use biblical Bible verses, now I see my 11-year-old asking me, why did he say that?
Yeah.
And so now they're going, discipleship. I said, well, you want to know what it says there? Like, instead of Googling like YouTube crap, So let's open up your phone. Like, go to that Bible verse,
yeah,
and then I'm like, read it back.
Yeah.
Because I'm driving, so read it back. So now I'm getting them to read the Word of God. Yeah. They're like, well, it makes sense, yeah, yo. It flows with it, yo. Yeah. It flows with it, yeah, you know. And so they're like, you know, so these are the conversations I'm having. And you know, the minute they get in the car, I'm driving them to school. You know, I begin prayer.
Yeah.
So I pray at home before we leave sometimes, and then in the car, you know. And it sounds like, oh, that's overkill. It's like, it's never too much prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So so I pray with them in the morning on the way to, you know, to school. I pray for them even on my way to school, to my job, rather. Yeah. I pray consistently, like I stay in prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, then, you know, we do like other small projects at home, you know, like stuff that's cool, like little arts and crafts and stuff that has to be it's related to the Bible. It's God related, you know. Yeah. So now they're doing arts and crafts and they're like, oh, look at this. Mine is better, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So we do things like this. And then we consistently go to church. I have, you know, have them get him. Oh, you want to do dance? All right. Let's join the dance ministry at church. You know, I have them doing that. Like, and then my wife and I, we consistently, like every single night, all right, everybody get in the living room. We're going to pray.
Yeah.
You know, like we're, you know, it's, you know, this is our first ministry.
Yeah.
God gave us this ministry.
Yeah.
You know, and so we have to really, really be completely sacrificial about it, you know.
Yeah.
Sacrificial about our homes. Yeah. I mean, but think about it, right?
That there is a modern, well, that traditional thought doesn't fare well with modern men because they're not looking at being a husband or approaching relationships in a sacrificial way. That's an expectation of us as men to operate sacrificially with our families.
It's a shame because a lot. I have friends too that you know that they're coming, they're coming, they're coming, yeah. they're coming to God little by little.
Yeah, yeah.
But I may be the only Bible they're reading.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So if there's anybody out there, we may be the only Bible for you.
Sure.
But maybe not. You know, it depends on where you're at with everything and your path. But the reality of this, right, is a lot bigger, right? That I hear them complain sometimes, and they'll tell me, "Oh, my wife doesn't do this. She doesn't do this." Sometimes it's physical stuff, like intimate stuff, right?
Yeah.
They don't do this. Oh, my wife always nag. I was like, so how come my wife doesn't do that?
Yeah.
Because I mean, to a certain extent, yeah, we don't, you know, there's things we have to, we go over and sometimes and everything's not perfectly like, but I don't really ever, even if I like have a very minimal like discussion with her, I won't even call it an argument.
Yeah.
Like, I love her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Completely.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about it is that she loves me back.
Yeah.
And then I'm never lacking anything from her.
Yeah.
Spiritually,
yeah, yeah.
Or physically, and vice versa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we come to this. I don't.
That
you know because I started to have this agape type of love with her. You know what I mean? I started to have this sacrificial love. You know, think about it. Right now, this is a really interesting. I'm just coming to me now. It's like Jacob, right? Had his family.
Yep.
So Jacob was going through this land and he became Israel and he was sacrificial, right?
Yeah.
And this is just a very like, but you see later with Christ again,
yeah.
Right? So you see Jacob now, right?
Yeah.
Jacob goes through his land and he battles with God.
Yeah.
Right? And then, but before all this happens, he goes to his family. He says, go that way. And then he sends his wife and kids, his family, he sends everybody over that they're safe. And then he tells all his workers, you go.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're not talking about like he had two cows
and he had
children and family like this, his wife, right? He had two wives, right? And then we're not talking about like 15 people.
Yeah.
I mean, he sent everybody.
In a village.
He sent an entire village.
Yeah, yeah.
Like hundreds of cattle and everything. Yeah. He sends them all over and he says, I'll stay here to fight with this thing that's coming.
Yeah.
Because he felt it, right? Something is coming. So he sends everybody and he stays there. He sacrificed himself.
Yeah.
And guess what? You know, at the end, he's like, I'm not stopping the fight. And then And then this being tells him, what's your name? He says, Jacob. He said, you need to let me go. I don't have time for this. Yeah. I got to go. Yeah. I got other stuff. I got to, you know, like, I can dedicate. Yeah. And so he goes, I'm just talking, you know, layman's terms here. But you should read this at some point. So then what happens is he goes, I'm not stopping this fight, this sacrificial fight, until you
bless me. Yeah.
So he sticks his finger in the socket of his hip.
Yep, set it off place.
Right? He goes, whoosh.
Yeah.
And he gives him a blessing. He said, from now on, you'll be called Israel.
Yeah.
That's, and it translates in Hebrew to like perseverance, right?
Yeah.
And then all the nations start to come from his lineage, right? It all comes from the father of the nations, Abraham to Jacob. And this thing explodes afterwards. Why? Because he persevered.
Yeah.
So there's something to be learned and gained from that, right? That through that perseverance, even in our own homes, that sacrificial giving, Christ sacrificed himself for us.
Yeah.
You know, he in that sacrifice, he redeemed all of us who truly believe in him. And the minute we truly believe in him, right, then everything changes.
Yeah.
Like we stand in authority, and we can literally stand in authority. And it's not a physical beating authority to our families. Yeah. You know, we're not beating our wives. We're not like beating the heck out of our children. Yeah. It's just straight up real love. You know, and sometimes love is a stern. Sometimes love is not like easy, you know?
But love is.
And it's a choice.
Yeah, it's a choice, and it's a motive as well. If you're doing something, it may not be easy on the person, but it's definitely beneficial. It may not be easy on you. Like, imagine, you know, you're telling your child they really want this specific item. It's going to make them the happiest child in the world, but you know it's not going to be good for them. At least right now, right? Sometimes we got to love them enough to say no. It hurts me to say no to you, but I know that this might not be the best thing for you right now.
I mean, listen, God is like that with us.
Yeah.
You know, so he made us in his likeness.
Yeah.
You know, so it just, you know, goes to prove that this is the way we have to be with our children.
Very true.
This is the way we have to be with our kids.
Yeah.
And as the head of our household too, if something my wife, if I see it's going to be detriment and it's going to affect my wife in a negative way, I'm going to tell her.
Yeah.
Hey, babe, yo, you shouldn't be doing that because I'm just letting you know that that's going to cause this and this to happen. Now, you can choose to listen to me, but if you don't do it, I'm telling you what will come from it.
This is
going to be the result.
Yeah.
You know, but you definitely have to do this instead. But if you want, we could come to a different arrangement where we can see how doing this, I can work myself into it, so it's not all you.
Yeah,
you know, and
that's
so
what leadership is.
And so we're literally guiding, completely guiding our home. But without God in it, then you're just walking around in circles, literally.
Yeah.
Right. So the first thing we got to do is spend time with Him. You know, we spend time with Him. He gives his instructions, and then we can move, you know? Yeah. And a lot of times, you know what's interesting? That if your wife is praying the same way, if your wife is moving with God the same way, God is telling her the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it happens too, you know, in evangelism, you know what I mean? I've gone out with other brothers to like some real dark areas, not only in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, but like out there on the West Coast, Texas and other places, you know?
Yeah.
And we go into we go into the different hotel rooms, and in the morning, I'm like, yo, man, I was just reading the Bible. And what were you reading?
Yep.
And it's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And it's that is not a coincidence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then we start praying, and then we go out. I mean, you can't approach anything without the word of God and truly praying and to be, you know, for coverage, you know what I'm saying? Because you go out there, you haven't prayed to nothing, then, you literally like have given open realm to whatever demonic entities are out there. In these, I mean, some of these places are dark.
Definitely, so a coverage there.
I mean, I went to this place called Park Row in Texas, right?
Yeah.
Like the level of,
in Texas?
No, the level. I just went out there to evangelize because God called us to go there. So we're like, let's go.
Okay.
You know, so.
Why Park Row? Why do you think God called you to Park Row, Texas?
Well, he called us to a couple of places there because that place is has a lot of darkness, and I believe that God wants us to really. It's you know, the Word of God says to go every corner of the world.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. Like I said, so my upbringing, right? So understand that everything we're going through now, not only as husbands, not only in our personal lives, growing up, and everything that we've been through, God is going to use that for good. Yeah. So because I grew up in the hood, right? Because I grew up in guns were pointed at my head and rifles and shotguns and knives, right?
Yeah.
As I grew up, then I know. Now, that I'm not gonna pee on myself, like, you know, I know. Okay,
yeah.
Wait, let's think about this. And now, with that word, with that Holy Spirit that dwells inside,
yeah,
you know, God guides it and goes to the point where people will fall on their knees and give their life to Christ. People start crying right in the place and give their life to Christ. You know what I mean? So. It's amazing when you start seeing this.
Yeah.
God is not a weak God. He is a powerful God. You know, that he can use me, right? This guy that used to be, like, in the streets and, like, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And he can use you the same way he can use me.
Yeah.
And it'll change not only your life, but the lives of those who you come in contact with.
Amen.
And even more so, your home. You know?
Yeah. And I think that's a thing that men, if they grasp, could start seeing their families, their life, level up in amazing ways.
Amen. Yeah, definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah. So now you have, you're married, you have a home. You also recently graduated with a master's in, what was it again?
I just recently graduated with a master's in digital communications.
Yeah.
So digital communications,
yeah.
Media and digital media and public relations.
Okay. How important was that for you to do, being a father and a husband?
Well, I always wanted to go for the master's.
Yeah, yeah.
Even before I got remarried, and I always wanted to know and understand how I was going to do this.
Yeah.
Because it costs money. It takes up time.
Yo, college costs
a lot of money.
I got words with colleges and universities and the government student loan system. I got words.
A lot of money. Yeah. And so now that I have four kids now, you know?
Yeah.
So I have four kids, my wife, home. Other bills, just like everybody else. I prayed about it.
Yeah.
I prayed about it. And I ended up going to college, back to college and back to for my master's at a very good school. And I ended up graduating with my master's, and all I had to pay was the taxes on it.
Really?
So,
I
again, right? I went to prayer, right? It says you should seek a quiet area.
Yeah.
Right. And talk and pray, and really, like, truly, be with Him.
Yeah, yeah.
And He'll talk back to you.
Amen.
You know, sometimes it may sound like your own thoughts.
Yeah.
But you know, you didn't have that thought before you went in that room.
Yeah.
So it ain't yours. It's coming from a higher place. Sometimes you might hear Him audibly. You know what I mean? Sometimes you might see. You close your eyes and see it. You see what's happening. You're like, literally. Get to the point where you see things.
Yeah.
Like you see things happening. Like it's like a movie almost. Like you're like, what? You know, and it's amazing that God can talk to you this way.
And he desires that. Like that was his intention from the very beginning.
I mean, it says in the Word of God, right, that you can go out there, you can heal people, you can drink poison, you can do whatever you're doing out there. You could be evangelizing, right? The Word of God and doing all these things, and you know, miracles could be happening at the foot of your feet. You know, like at the base of your feet and your hands and everything, and you may reach that day to Him. You know, that faithful day you reach to Him, and He may say, "I never knew you."
Yeah.
Like so there's a lot to say, right?
That's one of those things where I'm like, that's one thing I don't want ever to happen. You
know, we gotta be with Him. We gotta spend time.
Yeah. Our heart's gotta be in the right place. Understanding that, God is a blesser, but let's not get so oversaturated in our thinking concerning the blessing that we receive. Let us solely be considerate and be concerned about the blesser, and not only look at Him as the blesser, but just look at Him as the sovereign God, whether we receive what we feel we should have be blessed with or not.
Hey, I get down on my knees.
Yeah,
literally, and you know, I don't put my phone on the coffee table or on my couch.
Yeah,
I take my phone, I take my wallet, and I take my keys.
Yeah,
and I set them down on the floor, and I literally get down all the way down, face forward, and I pray with Him, and I talk to Him, and I spend time with Him, and I say, "All of this is Yours.
Yeah,
all of it."
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
All of it is Yours.
At least in control and give it to God. Yeah,
and it's amazing because we can look at like David, right? And that's what he was always consistently moving in, right? Like, you can take everything away from me, but don't take You away from me.
Yeah.
Don't take Your hand away from me.
Yeah.
Always be with me. Always stay with me. You can lose everything, but if you have God, it's always going to come back. And it's going to be multiplying.
Amen.
You know, again, that even goes to speak to our families, right?
Yeah.
We can have it all.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful house, a mansion, and you could be miserable.
Facts.
Or you could have like a little 2-bedroom apartment or 1-bedroom apartment, your family, 4 of us in there, and be completely happy.
Yeah.
And God will begin to bless you at that point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
You're faithful with the little. He's going to increase you.
Possessions don't make you rich.
He's going to increase you.
Yeah.
He's going to increase you. I know from fact. I know from my own faith. I know from my own experience. He will increase you. He will increase you. Continue to increase and move forward, you know?
Amen.
Yeah, definitely.
So you have a podcast.
Well, yeah. Again, that's another thing we did, right?
Yeah. Tell me about your podcast.
So my wife and I, we prayed about it. We have a ministry. It's called Bits Ministries.
BITS.
And it stands for Bringing in the Sheaves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's Bits Ministries. Actually, we have like, we do shirts as well. This is one of our shirts. And
El León.
This one says El León de Judas.
De Juda.
So this is the Lion of Judah.
Absolute authority.
Absolute authority over all creation.
Come on.
Apocalypse 5:5. Revelations 5:5.
Yeah.
You know, and so we have that. So you can look for Bits as well. Bringing
in the sheaves.
Yeah. Okay. So the podcast just started recently.
Yeah.
And so I'll do it in Spanish because I do believe that if I know 2 languages, then I should be going in in both languages.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my wife is Nigerian, so she does it in English with an amazing accent.
Yeah.
And
is she which tribe is it? Yoruba or Igbo?
Igbo.
Igbo. Okay.
Yeah, my wife is Igbo, and and so she'll do messages in English, and I'll do messages in Spanish, and we come out weekly.
Yeah, I did a DNA test. I'm like 85% Nigerian.
Yeah, so you see.
Yeah.
You look. You got Igbo features.
I got Igbo features.
Yeah, because you know, because I've been around her a lot now.
Yeah, yeah.
So like I start to understand like the different features from the different tribes. And like, I mean, there's a lot of different tribes, but there's like four major ones there.
Oh, so. I'm like, so I'm very far removed from the transatlantic slave trade to having being mixed with Puerto Rican and Carib Indian and or Carib Native American or Native whatever, and a whole bunch of stuff I'm mixed with.
Yeah, that's awesome,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm originally from El Salvador. I was born there in El Salvador, and I'm from this place called Departamento de La Paz, in this smaller town called San Pedro Massawat, or as my cousin says, St. Peter's of Massachusetts.
Massachusetts,
but it's not. It's called San Pedro de Massawat. Those are all Nahuatl language, and it comes from the old natives of that land. So. Yeah. And they were all through the Americas as well. So, I mean, you know, going back to like, you know, knowing your history, right? I think it's also important that we pray for our families generationally.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, so I mean, there may be things that are happening in your household that may be connected to something that one of your forefathers made a pact with, some sort of being that is not God.
Yeah,
you know, and so. That's just a revelatory thing that happened even to me, you know, I started praying generationally, like for any generational curse, for every single pact that has been made in the past 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 generations back, that they're completely broken off of my household, and I was praying with power. It's not praying like, oh God, I really hope you have time for me.
Yeah.
And if you see fit that I, you know, it's not that. I mean, the word of God tells us to come boldly through his throne.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, think about it, right? Moses himself, right? He didn't, you know, he said, I don't want your angel to go with me.
Yeah.
I want you.
Yeah, yeah.
To go with me. I want you, God, to go with me. And what did he say? What did his father say? What did our father say? Okay. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how would we feel, right? I think I heard this somewhere and it made so much sense, right? How would we feel if our child was at the next door neighbor asking for something? Can you buy me a pair of shoes?
Yeah.
Can you do this for me? Would be... complete what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Would be completely like, you'd probably become irate, right? Right? You'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, so God wants us to come to
him. We don't want that because it's embarrassing, but yeah, God.
God wants us to come to him stat, like now. Speak to me.
Yeah, yeah. That's the beautiful thing about having a relationship with the Creator. And also going to him with the right heart, the right motives, because that's where the blessing actually lies, because then you'll be able to see God in what he gives and what he doesn't give.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, there's a way to approach God, even though we're going to be bold when we approach him, that there's also a process, right? That we go to him with prayer, thanksgiving, and we give up, you know, like... our sins to him.
Yeah.
You know, then he's like, okay, you're coming to me straight up like a man here now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're being thankful. You're coming to me with all your sins that I already know. I just want to see if you're going to tell me, you know, and now you're going to, you know, because this is like, it's a process.
Yeah.
And so if you don't know how to pray, that's how you pray.
Yeah. I appreciate even Jesus himself taking the time to show us how to pray in Matthew.
Yeah.
Right? And I think we look at prayer like, I'm going to go and ask for what I want, and I'm going to expect to get what I want. And there's an expectation in faith. There's an expectation there, level of faith there, 100%. But God is bigger than whatever blessing you want. The reason why you can receive it is because he's bigger than all of that, right? Like, I just, like, for me, like, I just want God. Like, give me God. I know the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be
added. Yeah.
Like, I just want, give me God. Like, and I know, I trust God enough that everything will fall into place. But I also know that there's some things I need to go to the before the throne for and need to make my request known. So yeah. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray because I trust in God. The blessing, yes, thank you so much. Okay, let me put the blessing aside for a minute. And let me just focus on God.
God is faithful, man.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to come through every time. Sometimes it may not be exactly what you want.
Yeah.
But it's what, if you really truly let him work in you and with you and through you, then it'll be what you need.
Amen.
You know, it's like we may think one way, but it's not according to our understanding, you know. And once we really relinquish the control to him, knowing that he knows what we're petitioning him for, it happens.
Yep.
You know, and it happens in a bigger way than we think.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how he truly is listening to us.
Yeah.
You know, and he hears even the prayers that we have in silence, like even our thoughts. He can even hear the thoughts, you know, and like, Lord God, even though you may not have prayed it out loud, he hears that too, you know, and he'll come forth. We should try to walk righteous though.
Yeah.
We should really truly be trying to move, you know, and we can't, I remember this old song, like it's a classic rap song. Maybe some of you heard it.
Hallelujah.
Ain't no half stepping.
Yeah. No, that's
I believe it was EPMD, right? Ain't no half stepping. So we can't be half stepping either.
Yeah.
We can't be 1 foot like in the world and then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know it's a little hard sometimes. We find it hard because anytime we find the shift of us having done something for 20 and 30 years and 15 years or however many years been on this earth, right? To have to shift into something, it's like really having to move.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes disassociate acquaintances and friends that, or even doing things that you don't find comfortable at the beginning, right?
Yeah,
but then there's no growth.
Yeah,
right. So it goes back to, I mean, even just the mere fact like of us as men going to church, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting, right? Because that number you came up with, you said that there's suicide is the biggest among like,
what's that?
It's an issue for men. Now this is interesting, right? Because while I was reading this article in The Economist, secular, so they did a research study with scientists and psychologists, and they came to the conclusion that the majority of people who go to church, that crimes of self despair and crimes or deaths of despair rather decrease nominally.
Yeah.
If you just physically go to church.
Yep.
So if you just are, so they're secular.
Yeah.
This is secular news, right? The Economist. So if you just move yourself physically from your couch or the street or wherever you're at,
Get to church.
Just sit in this chair.
Yeah.
That your chances of death have in suicide.
Yeah. Self-deletion.
Decrease nominally.
Yeah.
So there's it becomes now less than 2%. So what happened?
Yeah.
So it's interesting because by you just sitting there, right? Now we could be sitting anywhere. But if you're not in church, the level of
suicide.
So
we're gonna say self-deletion because you two be funny with words. So So we'll say self-deletion instead of the S word. No, you two gotta be playing yourselves.
All right, self-deletion.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. So it's
self-omission.
Yeah,
from society.
Yeah,
so, yeah. So, so, I mean, but this is I'm just repeat. I didn't write this.
Yeah,
this is The Economist.
Yeah,
you know. So the level of death goes down. The level of termination in people's lives goes down immediately by you just being there. And as men, and if this is an issue, depression or anything else, all these things will go nominally away from us.
Yeah.
If we just physically are in church.
Yeah.
I mean, not my words. This is a study. You can look it up. You can look it up.
Yeah.
And there's graphs here showing you that the larger percentage of the people who now go to church, right?
Yep.
Are women.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Yeah.
So the number of suicides goes down greater in women because they're more often in church.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what it looks like when it says that he will give us life and life more abundantly. Like that abundant living is not just having things. It's about just being able to live and appreciate the life that you have.
Amen.
That you're living in him.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, brother, it's a lot to be said, yeah, right, for us just as men to go to church.
Yeah.
You know, just go to church.
Yeah.
And everything begins to shift.
That's the word today. Like, go to church and let your life begin to shift today.
And if
you are looking for a church, you don't know where to start, shoot me a message. Leave a comment down below. On whatever format you're watching, and I will look at, and you send me a zip code or what city you live in, I'll help you find a good Bible-centered, Holy Spirit-filled church that believes in the Word, believes in worship, believes in fellowship. I'll help you guys out.
I have a Spanish ministry at newcovenantnj.com, at New Covenant Church,
yep,
of right here in Plainfield, and that we meet on Saturdays at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're interested, if you speak Spanish, you want to come listen to the Word in Spanish, bring your family.
Yeah.
You can come there as well. NewCovenantNJ.com, right in Plainfield.
Yeah.
And then we have two services in English as well, on Sundays at 9 a.m. and at 11 a.m. So there's plenty. And if you want to check us out online, we're there as well.
Yeah.
On Facebook and YouTube.
So as we close out, share with the Harrison extended family your podcast and how they can follow you on that.
Yeah, so you can follow us on the Bits podcast by just going to your search engine on Google and typing in Bring in the Sheaves podcast, or you can go to Spotify or iHeartRadio and just type in Bring in the Sheaves podcast. You can go to Android, any of your podcast platforms, and it should be in there somewhere. Hopefully, I'll send the screenshot.
Yeah, are you on YouTube yet?
No, I didn't put it. Yeah, I'm on YouTube, but I didn't put any YouTube episodes up. Like, I'll be starting that.
Yeah, man, do that.
Yeah,
all right, man.
Yeah, I've had other YouTube channels, but they're not Christian podcasts. They're not Christian based.
Gotcha. All right. Man, I appreciate you coming through and having this conversation with me. I think manhood is essential. Biblical masculinity is essential for society. And if we operate within that in our homes will do better. As a result, our communities will do better. And but it starts with us.
Yeah, definitely.
And we got to get to church. Gentlemen, we got to get to church.
Just go there.
Let's go.
Just be present.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, once we're present, God starts to move.
Yeah.
God starts to move. Yeah. You know, it says, you know, that if you feel like, my faith is not high enough, I don't have enough faith. Right? The Word of God says, you know, it comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So by you just sitting there, what starts to happen, what The Economist didn't delve into is that one thing, right? Yeah. That you're listening to the Word of God. What's actually making people, so that they could ask, what's actually making people stay alive when they go to church? Was it just to physically just go to church and they stay alive? No, it's what's happening in the church, right?
Yeah.
What you're listening to.
Yeah, so.
It's building us.
Yeah, so get there.
Right? Even listening to this is building you.
Yeah.
Continue to listen at this place, because it takes a lot of work to put something like this together, you know? And I thank you, brother, for taking time out of your schedule to really even just, you know, have this ministry to really move forward, because we need more men like you as well, you know,
Amen.
To really push forward not only the word of God, but, you know, these values that we need to have in our homes, you know. So this Harrison's family value is to be cherished.
Amen. Thank you for that.
No, definitely, man. No, it's a fact, though. It's truth, you know?
Yeah. All right, bro. All right. So, guys, thank you guys so much for watching the podcast and for being with us. Greatly appreciate it. If you have made it this far in the video, and if you haven't hit the like button, please hit that like button right now. It'll let YouTube know or any other platform know that this is a video we're sharing out. And if you're not subscribed, what are you waiting for? Hit that subscribe button. Or if you're watching on any of the podcasts or listening, follow us. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the bell notification next to it. So it'll let you know when I go live or when I upload a new video like I'm doing right now. I greatly appreciate you all for watching. And yeah, man, until the next live or podcast release, we out. Peace.